Thank you for listening to the Hub Show podcast. Brought to you by Venue Media.
Hey, your Hub Show.
Podcasting and broadcasting about everything and nothing. From the center of the universe, the Hub City. And covering Baltimore, New York, D.C., Philly, Pittsburgh, and all points in between. It's the Hub City's own, The Hub Show. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Canfield and Jay Heitsch.
The Hub Show, Jay Heitsch, Chris Canfield. It is, what is it, March 10th?
Oh.
Sunday, March 10th, yeah, right?
10th,
we're climbing into the year here.
Yep.
You listened to the sounds of DJ Smooth last night at the O'Connell's Pub.
Yes,
I was there. Marsburg, the Irish Pub. Yeah, we were all there. It was me and him doing 90s night.
Right. And I was rapping, and you don't even hear me on
that. Dedication to Biggie. Rest in peace, Notorious B.I.G.
Rest in peace. I was wearing my Biggie. I was wearing
22 years now, right?
I was wearing my Biggie shirt. 22 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's crazy.
And he's still rocking it.
Yeah.
Still rocking it.
Yeah, man.
Yep. So
it just doesn't stop.
Nope.
He's got a story to tell.
He does.
You listen to that.
It was a good
There's
time.
A story to tell in there.
Sure there is.
I was getting a beer. I was getting a beer
Here
during
comes
this
story.
Song. I was getting a beer during this song, but if I was, I would be on that recording.
You would,
because I was yelling it at the bar when I was getting a beer.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why we started recording. Oh, Chris is gone. Anyway, that's all good. Hey, we are here. We are here. And look at this. We're going to do this right now. We are here, and we are live in the studio. We got Josh Swisher is back with us. Haven't seen you since Roller Derby. Yeah, what's going on, man? He's the host of a local show, Thursday night live on Facebook here in Hagerstown.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just talked to the Brooch.
The Brooch.
The Mayor
Brooch. I forgot to call my name my dragon after him, my bearded dragon.
Yeah. Really?
What?
I totally
How
forgot.
Did you name that?
I don't know.
You named an animal after Bob
after
Brucci.
Mayor.
What's it called?
Brucci.
It's called Brucci?
Yeah, Brucci. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
we got a table full here. It's like Thanksgiving over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a... We got Miss Charming.
Hello.
Charming Grissette.
Yes.
Did I say that right? Grissette. Yeah. It's a Grissette. That's the Grissette. American version.
Two T's.
Grissette.
But Grissette.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And then, once again, returning since the holidays, the man himself, Jairus of All, back in the house.
That's me. Thanks for having me.
Hey,
that's
you're welcome,
me.
Man. Yeah. Awesome.
That's my name.
Your name is what?
No.
No?
My name's Chris.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Charming, let's get it out of the way. That's your name? Charming. Born and raised, I should, on the birth certificate. Because anyone's
fact.
Asking.
Really?
Anyone's wondering out there. Her name is Charming.
It's true.
Just like
Have
it
you
sounds.
Ever asked your parents about this?
Princess
yes.
Charming.
Have you ever had the conversation? How did the conversation go?
Yeah, no kidding. A couple
There's
times,
a
huh?
character in a movie, 1979 movie, The Villain.
Uh-huh.
Anne Margaret's character is named Charming Jones.
Really?
That my dad was a big Anne Margaret fan.
Wow.
Big Anne Margaret fan.
Yeah.
I can't even.
She was hot back in the day. Man.
Was she?
She was hot.
I can't even tell you what Anne Margaret looks like. I would have to look it up. Is she?
She was later in like the Grumpy Old Men.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Which one?
The red.
Yeah, she was in that.
Oh.
She was the one who ran out and like jumped in the snow.
Yeah, she's the crazy kooky lady.
Oh
yeah.
Man, she was hot.
She was hot. Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely hot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow, I've seen Grumpy Old Men.
Not
like
so much now. Not so much. She's,
I've seen Grumpy Old Men like
not
a thousand
so much
times.
Now.
Oh, she just stuck with the foo-foo hair. Look, she like fluffed the hair out. She took the Grumpy Old Men. She took the Grumpy Old Men hairstyle and she just blew it way the fuck out. Like it's like,
wow.
Right? That's
Holy
like
cow,
it's like
man.
Extended like 6 inches.
Look at that
past.
Though. Back in the day, she was smoking.
She was smoking.
She was. And Margaret Elvis was nailing that, man.
Elvis was nailing that.
Yeah.
What?
He was doing movies with her.
No,
that doesn't mean he was nailing her just because he's doing movies with her.
Elvis Presley was nailing it.
Elvis was nailing it.
Elvis was nailing it. He was, man. He was doing the old Jailhouse Rock. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Yeah.
He say if Michael Jackson said it in his songs what he was doing, you know, the black and white thing and all that stuff, right? And if Elvis was probably saying it in his songs too. He ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Right. Yeah.
He was out there just going at it, taking what he could.
So we're talking about Elvis here and Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
But let's really talk about...
I mean, they key you in on what's happening. You know, I think even R. Kelly said it back in the day. I think he keyed us in. If you listen really closely to the lyrics, I think he tipped us off on what was to come in the future.
Really?
Yeah.
She was so much younger.
Aaliyah
like,
was
than
like
him.
14,
right?
15.
Yeah, she was like 14 or 15.
When she put out her first
he was
hit,
like
back and forth.
20 something.
Wait, Elvis?
That's what he's
Yeah,
about.
Elvis. Yeah. Yep.
Let's rock on here. So, in the house, Jairus Zavall, YouTube star.
Yes.
What's going on, Jairus? It's your birthday. Happy birthday, man.
Happy Thanks. Birthday.
Happy,
That's my
happy,
birthday.
Happy
what are you,
29?
28?
Yeah,
come on.
25.
25?
Nice.
Awesome, man.
Man. Awesome. People just keep staying younger and younger
I
these
know,
years.
Right?
It's crazy,
right?
I just pull a year away every time. Instead.
That's what I'm doing. I'm facing 50. And when that happens, I'm starting to count backwards.
Yeah. That's
right. Every time somebody asks me my age, I break out a calculator. Like I have no idea anymore.
Right?
I go,
what's the point in counting?
Well, I think the problem is I know what year I'm born, but I don't know what year I live in. I don't know the present anymore.
You don't know what year you live in?
I don't think.
I just announced when we opened
the
show.
How do
I think
you
that's
make
the
it
problem.
March 10th. 2019.
See, you said 2019, but I remember 1997 like it was yesterday.
So do I.
So that's the issue. That's the issue. That's where where the problem.
What universe
comes.
Are you
in
right
now? Such a special poignant here for you.
Yeah, you put me in this universe.
I didn't.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so what's new with you, man? Let's back up a second. We had a little some audio issues when you were with us last time, so. You're a big Aquaman fan. You weren't too happy with the movie, but has it grown on you? Have you been back to see it since?
I have. I've watched it a couple more times.
A couple more?
Yeah.
They made their money off you, huh?
Not in the theaters.
Oh,
but.
Oh yeah. I gotcha.
Probably shouldn't say that. Anyway, yeah. I mean, I do enjoy the movie. It's just disappointing. It could be a lot better.
The way they went with it, right? I gotcha. The way they handled the story.
Yeah. The Aquaman project.
Here we go again.
It's all good.
Oh, goodness.
Oh no.
There it is.
There we go. The Aquaman.
Aquaman.
Don't touch it.
The Aquaman project, though, is it's coming along. I've been working on things behind the scenes a lot, and it's coming along.
That's your big project.
I have so much other stuff to do recently.
Right, but that's your big project.
Yeah.
That's probably going to take a while, but that's your baby.
Well,
really. And
the thing is, I want to have everything lined up so that whenever I start doing the build videos for it, it's not one build video per month with a bunch of other fill-in videos.
For those who
I'm trying to get everything worked out before I start actually doing the videos.
So you actually have pre-recorded some videos and so far?
I haven't. I've been working on making sure that I know how to build all the stuff that there is.
I gotcha.
Because like in my videos, obviously I don't want to have you sit there for 10 minutes and have me tell you I don't know what's going on.
Well, let's back up. In a nutshell, for those who didn't hear, you're Jairus Zavall, YouTube star, you're DIY with the weapons.
Yeah, I'll do my elevator pitch.
Do it, please.
Fire
away.
I just invented it.
Just now.
2 days ago.
Awesome.
I went
Let's
to
hear
a YouTube
elevator
workshop
pitches,
in D.C.
Elevator
just
pitches,
now?
I believe,
did you really? Yeah. And
I believe elevator pitches are supposed to be, what, 45 seconds?
He came and say elevator.
Like that?
They said they wanted to be a Twitter post.
Twitter, 140 characters.
40. Yeah, I don't know how many characters mine is, but it's close.
So everyone, Chris.
I'm going to time you.
You ready?
I'm going to try to remember what it was because I haven't memorized it fully yet.
Jairus Zavall.
Right, go for it.
And you're on. Come on, man.
Should I explain the whole YouTube thing or just do
it? Oh, boy, I got to stop this right here. This isn't a part of the elevator pitch. You don't waste 5 seconds.
I know.
You wasted 5 seconds
on
silence.
Come on, man. This is Shark Tank.
All right. Here, I'll give the spiel. So say we're in an elevator and you said, what do you do? And I say, I'm a YouTuber. And you say, what do you do?
I just farted.
And
you just got to work over it.
Yeah, you got to deal with it.
All right,
goes on.
And
elevator pitch.
So
pressure.
In my videos, I simply explain complex concepts from science, and then I practically apply them to build impossible things from movies, comics, and video games. And usually it's out of scrap junk in my garage. Think MacGyver / Tony Stark.
There we go.
Boom.
I like that.
22 seconds.
That work for you, Chris?
That is work. That works.
If he told you that,
22 seconds.
That was pretty good. That would have got me.
If you're going to
if you wouldn't have fumbled on two of the words, you would have saved yourself
at least a second and a half.
Well, I was trying to remember if I had
forgotten
things.
Well, let me ask you, Chris, would that have made you not want to get off on your floor?
Huh?
Would that have made you not want to get off on your floor and continue listening to him?
No, yeah, I would have pressed all the buttons and just made him go up to the top floor.
Sir, it's only a 3-story building.
Anyway, now you're in for a ride. You got to tell me more about this.
Yeah, right.
All right, so there you have it. Now, to back up and get people back on up to speed, you're an Aquaman fan. You have a big Aquaman project. What would elevator pitch. What is it, man?
Oh, man, for the Aquaman project. Basically, I'm going to be the fastest swimming human on the planet. I mean, it'll be aided, but I'm not going to be in a boat or a submarine.
Right.
It'll be a stuff that I literally strap to my body that makes me swim about as fast as a dolphin.
Yeah.
What?
Yes. You didn't hear it. See, I haven't. I've only seen bits and pieces. I haven't actually watched any of your YouTube or anything.
Yeah.
Holy cow, that sounds awesome.
This dude, makes amazing shit.
It has to be safe, dude. I mean.
Well, that's incredible. That's part of the problem that I've been working with is how to develop something.
Right.
Like, the whole pressure issue. Like, I'm not going to be able to go down very far to be able to jump out of the water, like, vertically like a dolphin. Because I want to be able to jump out of the water.
That was my next question.
Are you going to do that? With no jumping out of the water. Right?
I mean, it's not, like, difficult to do the math on. You can just look up, like, speed that a ball would be going if you dropped it from 10 feet or whatever. And so you just get on the internet and put it in one of those equation things, and you can see how fast you have to be going to get a certain height out of the water. So if I can do 15 miles an hour and I go straight out, I think it puts me somewhere around, oh man, I can't remember, 10 feet in the air?
Okay.
Or something?
10
or
feet?
8 feet? Like, or 7 feet? Or something like that. I can't remember. It's been a while since I did the marathon.
And this is in a pool, right? Like, there's no currents. There's nothing. This is in a pool.
No,
he's
going I won't be able to do it in a pool. It'll be too fast to do it in a pool.
I'll be able to test it.
He'll hit the wall.
There's no Olympic-sized pools around here.
No.
At least I've tried to find some. I haven't talked to Shippensburg University yet, but they have a bigger pool, I believe. So if I can get somebody
that conversation when you go in there and tell them what you want to do, listen.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. I mean, I talk
to the dolphins.
Just hear me out.
Yeah, you got to put like a dolphin sound in
there. Flipper.
Well, I talked to a gym and I talked to a YMCA had pools, and I was like, hey, I have this thing that I need to like test in a pool.
Right.
Like, is there a chance that I could pay like for a month membership to use the pool for like 20 minutes? Like, could I do that? And they were like, well, it depends what it is. We'll have hard plastic on it. Because the one place had, like, a soft liner. And they were like, no, you can't use it. And I talked to the other place, and I tried to explain what I was going to do. Yeah. And
they looked at you sideways.
I was on the phone, and the person that I was explaining it to, I don't think they could wrap their head around. They were, like, I tried to explain it as simply as I could, and they were like, do what now? What?
And they were in college.
You want to swim like a fish?
No. The college I haven't talked to yet, because I have no idea who I should even talk to at the college.
Well, that's the thing. He needs longer space and Olympic-sized pool to pull this off.
Your mathematics changes with the depth, right that you're in, too. Like, if you want to go deeper, there's going to be more pressure, so you have to go faster if you're going to jump higher, right?
The depth thing, you do have... Like, water doesn't really compress. So, like, technically you have more resistance when you go lower, but it doesn't really matter too much. Like, the problem is your ears. Ears are the problem. That's it. That's, like, the major issue.
How far do you plan on going deep before you start going up to jump at 15 miles an hour?
I haven't looked this up for a while. I have a goldfish memory. I understand physics and science concepts really well. Right. I get the concept. I can grasp that. I can remember it because I get it, but... Remembering stuff is
gotcha.
Well, anyway, so let me do some more. Let me do some more backing up though for listeners. He's Jairus Avall, JAIRUS Avall on YouTube.
Yep, the whole thing is Jairus Avall, master of none, master often of none. Better than a master.
But you're a master of something, dude. Because it's pretty amazing.
He's a master. He's a master of making furnaces.
If you all want to go back, about 2 months and a week ago, he was here with us at the holidays, and he almost set Matt Burns' beard on fire just, with the farting reindeer
with his sweater.
Yes,
he set his beard on fire with a sweater.
He had the Iron Man claw here. He had a bunch of stuff out. It was pretty dope.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Wolverine claw. Excuse me. So, the Iron Man fist with the rocket launcher.
Today I was catching up on your new wood stove you put in your.
He's all about this wood stove.
I have a wood stove in my shop, right? And it is a pain in the ass. It takes like an hour and a half to heat the shop. I come in, it takes like 45 minutes just to get the fire started. And this is always a thing. Like, I don't understand how a house can burn down with someone in it. Because it takes me 45 minutes to start the fire in the wood stove.
But just
And then this drunk guy can pass out with a cigarette on his couch, and the house goes up in flames and he dies. So I was thinking about maybe I should start the fire with pieces of couch. Maybe that's
a mattress.
Or a mattress.
Guaranteed.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. A mattress.
Will. A horse hair mattress.
But then I have to start the fire and then leave the shop for like an hour and a half and then come back and then finally it's warm. But yet I watched your video today and you threw a ball of paper in there and your contraption was hot to the touch. Yeah. Like what is this magic? What is this witchcraft?
All right. First of all, let me just clear this up real quick. I looked it up. If you go down 33 feet underwater, you hit one atmosphere of pressure. So like the pressure that we're under from the air currently at sea level is 14.5 psi. So at 33 feet down, you double that in the water. But it only takes like 3 psi, or it's some really tiny amount that'll blow your eardrums.
Wow.
So if you go down without equalizing, it'll blow your eardrums out really quickly. It's all about the differential. So if you can equalize super fast, you can go down fast. But you have to equalize super fast coming up. Otherwise, because you can rupture your eardrums in or out. Right. So that's the huge hurdle with the Aquaman project right now.
Well, what about the scuba diving thing with the nitrogen in your blood? You're going up and down so fast, it doesn't matter?
Okay, so that is that's just when you're down deep and you're under all that pressure, the nitrogen stays in your blood because it's harder for it to gas off through the alveoli in your lungs or something like that.
Okay.
So you get like this huge nitrogen buildup in your blood, and if you come up slowly, it has the time to work its way out.
But you're coming up
fast.
But
if you come up fast,
you get the bends.
You get the bends. It causes bubbles in your blood. But if I'm going down with this system, I'm going to go down fast and come right back up fast.
Yeah.
So I won't have time to like build up.
I got you.
So the bends won't be an issue.
Okay. Star Trek.
It'll just be like the blowing my eardrums out. It's like,
Christ.
Like, and that can. Once your eardrums rupture, like if they shatter, they'll like shatter out of your ears. Like it'll fuck you up really bad.
Yeah.
And if that happens,
but if you
lose all equilibrium, you can't tell where you're at. You can't tell which direction.
If you have something
horrible,
but it's really bad.
What if, it's a lot of risks involved.
So I won't know how to get back to the surface.
Why are you doing this? What's wrong with you?
For science. It's for science.
But if you have something in your ears where the pressure doesn't have anywhere to go out. Would it make a difference?
Right. So that's what people have tried to develop little systems that have little bleed holes, so the pressure comes in slow and goes out slow. But if it slips out of your ear, and with doing a fair amount of speed underwater, there's good likelihood the water could pull the plugs out of my ears.
Duct tape.
Then they shatter
duct
super
tape.
Fast.
Duct tape.
Yeah. Super glue.
Hey, that Different. Guy looks like duct Aquaman. He's got duct tape all over his head.
That's crazy, man.
So yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
I mean,
what's the projection date for, like, I mean, obviously you got to find, how you going to test Aquaman out? If you're getting the pushback just using pools, I mean, how are you going to pull this off?
I found some, there's some freshwater springs in Florida that are super clear. That
you have to go to Florida, dude. You have to go to Pennsylvania, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
Cunningham.
You got to do what you got to do.
It's like a 15.5-hour drive, you know, so if I drive down there. I have a friend I have one of my friends from the Navy.
In Florida.
He is still in Florida. So if I go down there and do it, I can stay
with
him.
The springs are like 45 minutes away from Pensacola.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
All right, so
yeah.
Have you worked out the arc on how much space you need to turn to come back up?
Yeah, Chris is about that.
I have no idea.
That and wood stoves.
Like you need to go down and then turn and come back up really fast.
Right.
So there's a space that the pool has to be X amount wide.
Right.
No,
I think it's like at 6 or 7 feet down is where you could potentially blow your eardrums. So my goal is to be able to be 6-7 feet under the water. That way I don't have to equalize at all. And then see if I can turn up
Chris
fast
is excited.
Enough to jump.
I'm afraid for you. I'm just scared for you, bro.
All my projects are reasonably dangerous. I take what I consider to be like reasonable precautions whenever I do stupid things.
Well, what's the precaution with that? Obviously, you're gonna have some people
I'm
on
like
the stand,
Steve Irwin
standing by.
I'll practice. There's a couple guys that I know
like
they're
the big
dive
that Chris wants to know all about. I mean, this I wish you all the best. I want this to work out. I want to see it. We all want to. What are you gonna go? You're a visual guy. YouTube. You attaching some GoPros to yourself? How's this gonna?
Good question.
Oh, you haven't figured that part out yet? Yeah, we want to see it to believe it, pal.
I'll give you a little
you
secret,
talk about
though.
What you want.
This is the teaser that I want to do. I want to drop like a teaser the week before I release the video of me swimming like Aquaman.
Right.
I got to find somebody with a drone that can fly it, like flying across a lake.
Oh,
and the camera
you.
Will be pointing straight.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
And then it'll say it'll have like some teaser text
we'll
and like some foreboding music and all that or whatever.
Yeah.
And then like the camera will slowly start to pan down onto the water.
Right.
And I'll be just under the surface of the water, like shooting along right with the drone.
That's
like, that's
awesome.
What I want to do for a teaser
that would be
for
sweet.
It.
Who here wants to volunteer to?
I need to learn how to fly
to Florida.
A drone. But maybe, I go to Florida all
maybe
the time.
Down, maybe, down. Maybe Captain Mango can accompany you.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Get the pirate down there.
Seriously. Oh, I have a helicopter.
Back to this wood stove. So I need to know. All right. So you got into the depth with what heat is. And I found it very fascinating that you broke down, like, heat doesn't rise.
Right.
Oh, my
heat
God.
Heat doesn't rise. Heat spreads out. It radiates.
Yeah, it's, right? it's just an energy level.
For all those who said heat rises.
Which is everybody.
You wrong.
It's bullshit.
It's amazing that they don't, like, there's the education system can't catch up fast enough that it can teach us the new thoughts or the new findings. You know what I mean? Like, we live in a four-dimensional world. And I bet you every teacher in the world is telling all their kids we live in a three-dimensional world.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, the fourth dimension is time. And nobody fucking mentions
it. My dad thought it was hilarious. Now, it's been a while since I said that in the video, like, made it very clear heat doesn't rise. You have to keep that in mind for it. Every chance my dad gets, he says, you know, heat rises, right? And I'm like, God.
No, cold drops. Right? Heat doesn't rise, cold drops.
I know he's just doing it for it.
I know, man. We'll work on it. There we go.
That How's that?
It's there perfect. I'm just going to start doing it again. I know why. I'm going to fix that.
Anywho, yeah.
Yeah,
so he thinks it's hysterical. Every time he sees me, and he can throw that joke in there. He's like, oh, he rises. And I'm like, oh, Dad, like, I know you're joking, but it's not funny anymore.
Right. Yeah. So you created this thing where you can, like, it stores heat. I saw you use downspout,
mm-hmm.
right? You use downspout, and you cut it. And you had it. I saw the whole thing where you were talking about putting, like, a little sliver in there and, like, keeping the heat. And the cold air would go out and the hot air stayed inside. And right. then you decided to angle the downspout down, right. which created a sliver, essentially. Right?
Right. But it creates a stratification with less work.
Yeah. And then you surround it by anything that would absorb the heat and hold the heat.
Yeah. So anything that would...
The dense mass to give you lots of... Yeah, you put aluminum foil in it, and the aluminum foil spread the heat through the mass.
Right. Because aluminum has, like, incredibly high, like, thermal conduction.
Yeah.
So it'll wick the heat away from the exhaust. And it helps you get the energy into the mass instead of it just staying in the exhaust gas.
Yeah.
So, like, once that's hot... And this is the thing. I've run it for a while now. It takes forever to warm the shop up with it. But once the shop is warm, this is the whole point of this... rocket mass heater system these hippies developed, or whoever developed it. Once you get all this mass hot, it's enough thermal density. Like, there's so much thermal mass there that it keeps the shop hot for a day.
Yeah.
After I run it. But I have to run it for a really long time.
So you can come back in the next day and just throw another log in it, and it'll maintain the same amount of heat. It'll maintain the same amount of heat, right? The following day. You don't have to worry about feeding it through the night.
Yeah, I mean, that was, like, the main principle. If I can throw some wood in the morning and throw some wood in at night and it keeps the shop warm, it's good. Because before, I was running a propane heater out there, and it's so noisy. I mean, it's not super noisy, but it shows up in the videos and people complain about it. So I can't run that heater when I'm doing filming or if I'm talking. So I have to always go out there and warm the shop up and then do whatever I'm going to do, and then it gets all cold again, and then I got to stop and wait and turn the heater back on so that I'm not, like, I could just film and have my breath be like obstructing my face.
That leads me to a question. I know you leave it to Chris. He'll go on all night about heat and wood stoves and stuff like that. And this podcast will
I want to know how to make my wood stove more efficient.
He even wore that shirt for you specially.
I know now I need to aim the air ducts down at the floor. Because I need to heat the pad and more and more mass.
Let me ask you a question.
That's just step one.
You have your YouTube channel. You're doing all these scientific experiments and this and that on the show. And you get people there challenging you. A lot of people are amazed by what you do. They ask you questions. You answer them. But do you ever get people going, no?
That's a good question.
You know what I'm saying? Do people challenge you?
Sometimes.
They come at you like you're full of shit or anything?
They think
you're faking it?
I've had... The biggest one is with the Power Fist. Everybody tells me that I need to activate it before I actually hit something. But it's pneumatic. It's not hydraulic.
People who haven't gone through the effort that you've gone through to make it are telling you.
Yeah. Right. And, I mean, I wanted it to kind of flick out at the beginning. Right. But, I mean, I realized while I was building it, it doesn't matter if it fires before I hit something.
Right.
Because if it fires before I hit something, it basically just creates a big air cushion. So that whenever I hit it, it's a padded impact.
You had to explain that to them, right?
Well, I did at first.
There must be like a whole long thread on your YouTube videos of you going, listen,
I like to read
for the fourth time.
Yeah, the comments are pretty entertaining.
Just watch.
The videos on the Power Fist got so many comments,
though. It's the Zapruder film. Slow it down.
Well, you had the Power Fist at Comic-Con. Didn't it have the plunger? Is that what I saw with
the
plunger in it?
That's the activator. That turns on. It just hits a limit switch that's behind it.
So it has to fire off at the same exact time every time you swing.
Right, but like the time period that it takes for the pressurized air to make it into the cylinders and make the front actually push out. Like, if you see it in... If you hit the front of it, it looks like it fires instantaneously. But if you watch it in slow motion, like really slow, you can see that it fires just after it hits.
After the pin.
But it's actually not. It's actually firing just before.
He's just sitting up. He's all eyes. He loves this shit.
He's just like a trained
in science class. Really? Then what happens?
Teachers actually play Jairus's videos for their kids.
Do they really?
Pretty cool.
So, Charming, let's back up. Charming, you were at Comic-Con with Jairus in October, and we were at the 4-State Comic-Con here in Hagerstown, and you were in the room hanging out with him?
Yep.
Okay, you know Jairus?
Yep.
You guys go back?
High school.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
High school.
I know, now.
It's all coming together.
It's all coming together.
Are you a big science nerd, too?
I only made it the most.
I like science.
Do you dig this stuff
Popular
he's doing?
Popular Science is the only magazine I can read cover to cover.
Well, what is your bag there, Charming? What's
What do you like to do? What do you mean? No, it's
what
just interesting.
I know it is. I'm more interested in the entertainment factor, like how people are watching him on YouTube and how he deals with reactions and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's amazing. I want to see the Aquaman thing especially. You know what I'm saying?
It's fascinating.
But when he sets people's beards on fire with farting reindeer sweaters, to me it's comedy, but you know. Almost burned Chris's house down. Hey, fuck it.
Man, whatever, man.
I'm just saying, being here with this Charming.
You do what you got to do, man.
Yeah, you know Jairus. I mean, who's not amazed by what he does, but what do you do, Charming? What's your...
interest?
She's probably trying to be. She's trying to be modest. She's an incredible artist.
Jairus knows something. You guys telling us?
I don't know if you guys how much you've seen of her art.
I don't know.
I mean, it's fantastic.
She just walked in here.
So much.
She had a tree painting.
She was out walking her dog, and
I just walked right. I was like, hey, I got my Jairus Ball T-shirt on.
Listen,
like a tree of life.
Come in here. Tell us
it's
your
DNA
charming.
A DNA tree.
Yeah, she had this DNA tree painting, and it's hanging in my living room now. It's awesome. I was like, "How much do you want for it?" She was like, "You can have it." And I was like, "Oh, come on!" But she wouldn't let me pay her for it. She made me take it because we've been friends for a really long time. So
there we go.
I mean, I appreciate it. It's up.
I got you.
Thank you.
Now I get to appreciate it only because nobody ever comes over my apartment.
Charming, you do art.
I do.
You draw.
Yeah.
Paint
everything. Everything.
Like paint.
She's an awesome. She is awesome at sculpture. Also,
really.
You said you haven't been doing that for a while, right?
Doing the talking for you here.
I'm okay. So one time I went down to Florida to visit some friends and house sit for them, and she was living down there at the time.
Oh.
And I thought she lived like a few hours away, but I messaged her, and she was like, "No, I live right in town here." I was like, "Oh, well, we should hang out." So I went over to the place. She had like sculptures all over the garage, like the whole place was filled with all this awesome stuff. I was like, "Where did you get all this?" She was like, "Oh, I made it all."
No shit! Wow.
Yeah.
And then she
That's
doesn't.
What
I'm
saying.
And
you
then she
tell
doesn't
us
talk.
That,
she doesn't talk.
I don't
about
do anything.
It
I just, you know,
she's humble, man. She's got that humble.
I know.
You are humble. Nothing wrong with it, but you know,
like, talking about myself in that way, it's weird.
But where do we see your stuff? Is your stuff on display anywhere?
No.
On your Facebook page.
It's in my home.
You have to see
and friends' houses, and no, but I do post on Instagram mostly.
You're
every
on Instagram.
Once in a while, I'll paint and I'll post something.
What's your Instagram?
Charming underscore Jones.
Okay. Right. Jones is...
Jones?
I know.
What?
Jones
you
and
Charming
what?
Grissett?
It's from Jones the
and
movie.
Charming.
What I was named after. What I was telling you earlier.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
It's all coming full circle.
I know. Right. She's like, you know, upset. Me asking questions.
No. I'm not.
Man.
I just... It was all of a sudden you were asking me, and I was just like, where did this come
from?
Well,
this seemed like, as you guys kept talking, that there was, like, you guys knew each other. I knew you knew him from Comic-Con. I didn't know what the history was. Now we know.
Yeah.
You guys go way back.
That's right.
There you go. That's cool.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah, I didn't even tell him that I was going to be here. I just was waiting to
surprise him. Yeah.
He got out of his car. I was like, happy birthday. He was like, who is that? Yeah. Holy crap.
Old man.
Yeah.
Old man Jairus.
Old man Jairus.
Old man of all. Master of old.
Yeah, so where do you see this thing going?
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah,
we're gonna be with you
do you want to be in 10 years?
How about underwater?
That? How about that question?
Where do I want to be in 10 years?
Yeah,
I don't know. Somebody mentioned to me recently. They felt like my videos were similar to Mr. Wizard.
Right.
Like
that's a good thing.
I wouldn't be opposed to if I the intention is to do YouTube once I have enough money saved up, do real estate so I can retire early. Like, that's the plan. But I won't stop doing YouTube. Like, I'm still going to do this stuff. I mean, I built stuff like this before I did YouTube.
Yeah, real estate.
And I'll build it after, but I probably won't stop making YouTube videos.
No.
I think Jared should be the next Bill Nye, but, you know, that would be awesome.
I mean, if somebody was like, hey, we want you to do a science show like Bill Nye or Mr. Wizard or whatever, I wouldn't. But I think that would be fun.
You need to have your name rhyme with Guy.
Why?
Jairus Schnai.
Jairus Schnai.
Oh, my God. Oh, seriously?
Are we doing this? We're back to the names.
Retarded.
0.08.
I think the reason Bill Nye became famous is because his name rhymes with Guy.
What did we name Jameel?
Jameer, the Pap Schmeer. Mr. Pap Schmeer. That's his roller derby name. Pap Schmeer Jameer. Coming around the back now.
God.
Watch out, ladies.
Schmearing these people.
Yeah, like a bowling ball coming through.
I was 0.09.
Yeah. 0.09, that's
my number, 0.09.
0.09 your number, man. That's awesome.
Okay, you had asked me about people challenging me on my videos.
Yeah, I can imagine there's some asshole out there wanting to, you know, poke at everything
you
do. You know what I mean? Yeah, thank you.
So here's
according
the thing.
To Wikipedia.
I did this with
you don't spell Jairus right.
Neil deGrasse Tyson said that's not,
yeah. No,
that's
Neil
not how that works.
Tyson.
So in the one video I did with the Power Fist, I punched cinder blocks with it to show that I can break cinder blocks. And I wanted to show how much force it takes to break a cinder block.
Right.
So I took a plate that was exactly the size of the plate that's on the front of the Power
Fist,
set it on the cinder block, and then I stacked like well over 1,000 pounds on that little plate to show that a cinder block can withstand that much force. And people got really upset because they were like, well, that's static force. It's not dynamic. And when you punch the block, the impact force is more. And I'm like,
it worked.
Yes, I understand that. But what they were getting really bent out of shape about is like, it doesn't make a difference if something is flexible, because then you have something that's dynamic and like the amount of force can make something like that break easier. But a cinder block does not flex. Like, I mean, I'm going to talk kind of in absolutes to make this a little easier to understand, but
please.
Yes, please.
Cinder blocks don't flex.
What are these, the new cinder blocks? Because the older cinder blocks were different.
I don't know. They're cinder blocks from Lowe's.
The new ones are technically not cinder.
Thank you, Charming.
Shut
up, cinder blocks.
World of concrete over here.
Jesus Christ.
Cinder blocks don't flex. We'll just say, for the sake of argument, like steel doesn't flex. So when I hit it with the Power Fist, the time period, that weight, that momentum, like the kinetic energy that's going into the cinder block is transferred to the cinder block is over the period of time that I touch it, and it doesn't flex. Like, if it does flex, it's such a tiny little space, all that energy goes in all at once. So even though I might only be punching with, I don't know, a couple hundred pounds of force or something, because I have 13 pounds of steel on my hand, all of that energy, it's about the time period that it transfers to the cinder block, which is why you can break a cinder block with a hammer. The point of that video was to show people that cinder blocks take a huge amount of force to break, and because they're so static and they don't flex, like I went and found a materials engineer and talked to a materials engineer about this to make sure that my understanding of the concept was correct, and he was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, I researched this stuff before I put it out, and
of course
I just looked at the video, and it was literally every other comment, if not more, where you're wrong, you don't understand the physics of it.
And not just from one or two people, but a bunch?
And I didn't say that this is... I was saying, like, I'm giving you an accurate demonstration of how much one of these could support if I were to hit it flat with the Power Fist. And some people didn't notice that I put the plate on the blocks, or they didn't know why I propped the block up.
So you had to go tell them to look at, like, 5 minutes, 26 seconds where I did this.
That video has, like, thousands of comments, and it has millions of views, so there's no way I could catch up with trying to explain it.
Yeah, but still.
Plus, yeah, but what about the Buddhist monks that break cinder blocks and
they're
stuff?
They hang them by their balls.
Do you have to start doing your own, like, Mythbusters, like, videos
you see how much weight you can hang from your balls.
If I punched a cinder block and there was a tennis ball sitting on top of it, it wouldn't break because all that energy would transfer over a very low period or a much longer period of time.
Tennis balls.
Versus, like,
this guy.
Tennis balls.
The minute period of time. So it's like the amount of energy that you're transferring over time is what matters. That's
level
like the
15.
thing that, that makes right. a
That's
block
so
break,
deep. So. I can't even. I'm right. just like.
I'm ready to get back.
It
to
is
this
deep.
Wood
no, no, no.
Well, no. Listen, we're
sit
talking
down,
about
Morning Wood.
Well, now we're talking about Buddhist monks hanging shit from their balls.
I just came back to pee.
I mean, I feel
came back
like
from
you're
peeing.
Talking
I don't know
about
we're
that, but
it's well, I mean, it's
funny
really interesting because
when you start talking about it, he goes straight to tennis balls.
Tennis balls.
Yeah, Jared.
It's the Taoist
love.
That's how it works.
He didn't say ping pong balls or golf balls.
You got to be one with the flow.
Listen, I'm trying to make my workshop more energy efficient.
That's what she said.
Yeah, but these guys hang heavy shit from their balls.
You know, we're talking about balls and monks. We're going to go to take a break. And I'm sure we'll be right back. Yeah.
I don't need bigger balls.
Trade show displays, step and repeat backdrops, pull up banner stands, table throws, all your large printing needs. ExpoNetUSA.com, 301-378-9363. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right. With Dark Holiday Season.
Yep.
Drew Adams, take it away, man.
This ain't the same boat that everybody else is in. It's Christmas time, New Year arrives in 7 days or maybe 10. It's hard to believe, so hard to perceive, it's over after all. And I could have cried when I saw your eyes get glassy at the curtain call. Seems I'm determined to the core to put the bartender's kids through college once or more. For me it's therapy to help relieve the memory of the girl I lost this time the year before. Ain't it sad to feel so drab? You lush through a dark holiday season. No cares and no concerns, hold on with no rhyme or no reason. If I could find the peace of mind to break from a dark holiday season, there'd be no need to satisfy the way I'm feeling. When you got no fair excuse to desensitize any fear you're illustrating is nothing but disguise. That being in good company is what you know you need, and to remind yourself there's people near who care. Then how do you enjoy the bar when you're the only one there? Ain't it sad you feel so drab? You lush through a dark holiday season. No cares and no concerns, hold on with no rhyme and no reason. If I could find the peace of mind to break from a dark holiday season, there'd be no need to satisfy the way I'm feeling. Sad, you feel so drab, you lush through a dark holiday season. No cares and no concerns, hold on with no rhyme or no reason. If I could find the peace of mind to break from a dark holiday season. Ain't it sad, you feel so drab, you lush through a dark holiday season. No cares and no concerns, hold on with no rhyme or no reason. If I could find the peace of mind to break from a dark holiday season, there'd be no need to satisfy the way I'm feeling. Ain't it sad you feel so drab, you lush through a dark holiday season. No cares and no concerns, along with no rhyme or no reason. If I could find the peace of mind to break from a dark holiday season, there'd be no need to satisfy. There'd be no need to satisfy the way I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Right? These are all original. You better get up on the microphone here.
Are you writing that? Did you write the lyrics?
Yeah, I wrote the lyrics to that one and above.
That,
stuff,
he man. stole that from Dashboard Confessionals. B-side.
Lyrics were awesome. Oh, I love
that. Yeah, the lyrics were professional.
That's
right
probably
there,
one
man.
Of the deeper and more meaningful songs on the album. Most of my songs are a little bit more aggressive and outspoken about just things that piss me off and get on my nerves.
Yeah.
that was a podcast.
That was a
great. I was like into that.
That
was
a great song,
right? I was like,
right?
Whoa.
Yeah. And then when he went on that little guitar riff, I tried to get out my camera real quick when you were like, when you were flicking it back and forth. I was like, oh man, that's fucking awesome. He's going back and forth.
Yeah, man.
Oh man.
Nice to watch
and then
you
the
flip.
Dog got in the way.
I know, right? No, fucking dog.
I know.
He ruins everything.
He tries to play the guitar.
Producer Dexter's.
Humps legs.
Always trying to. Yeah.
So. Drew, what's the dealie, man? You've been, obviously, how long have you been doing this, man? What's the deal? You were what, age 5, started playing guitar? How's it go?
I'm 32. I started playing instruments when I was 10 or 11.
Okay.
I started with drums, actually. Saxophone, but I got about as far as I could with that in the school system and didn't think I was going to get any better, so I hung it up.
I tried to play trumpet in the band, and it was horrible. Like, it's like... Like, why you want me to play Mary Had a Little Lamb? If they would have let me, like, hear a Cake song when I was in fifth grade.
Cake. Yeah.
Yeah, if they would have let me hear a Cake song in fifth grade, I would have stuck with the trumpet.
Because that gets
trumpet's
you excited. Great.
But I can't. But they wouldn't. They wouldn't.
They want you to do fundamentals.
You got to do Mary Had a Little Lamb, and you got to play up and down the chords. And I was like, no, I'm not doing this.
I'm glad we have the school music programs.
This is gay.
I'm glad we have the programs in school to get kids started with stuff like that. But I don't know that the stuff that they encourage kids to play as far as the material
it's not exciting
is what the kids need. I don't know if it's what they need in order to keep them
excited. Kid wants to
excited.
Throw down like Lisa Simpson. Doesn't want to start playing
So what got you started then? If it wasn't the school program. What was that?
You gave up saxophone, you're playing guitar now.
I moved to drums and then I moved to bass and guitar actually came.
Drums, baby.
Guitar came last.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah, I'm primarily a bass player.
You're a bass player?
You could be a one man band.
You could have come in and done some Primus, man. What's up?
Actually, that's funny you say that. Les Claypool is like one of my most idolized bass players and some of the things he.
I got a Les Claypool.
He does.
Next time you come to the Hub Show, you got to bring the bass.
Yeah, I'll bring one of my
The Whamola? You bring in the Whamola.
I don't have any.
We'll be better set up for you.
Unfortunately, my style of playing is nothing like Les Claypool's. Yeah. That takes a lot of skill. He makes everything he does.
And plus, you have to invent the instrument.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. He's invented a couple very unique instruments, and the guy that builds his basses lives in like the San Francisco area and has built like eight of those basses. They're called Carl Thompson basses. That's the guy's name.
Oh, yeah.
And they look like pieces of furniture.
Yeah.
They sell for about $40,000.
Right. I went to a Les Claypool when it was after Primus broke up. He went on this tour called like the Freaks Tour or something like that. And he had Saul Williams open up for him. Saul Williams was dressed like the Nutcracker. And when Les Claypool came out, he was like he had a pig mask on. And he was in a tuxedo, and they had a xylophone that stretched the entire length of the stage. And he had these giant fucking Q-tips just running back and forth in this pig suit, like playing. Oh, man, it was so crazy.
Yeah, it was so crazy. So you're 32. You're young. And, you're a young pal. Yeah. Anyway, so you've been doing this. How long have you been, like, playing, like, out on the performing?
Since I was about 16, I think. I got probably my first paid job, and it might have been in either Relax in Chambersburg or What is Cancun Cantina now used to be called Barracuda's.
Yeah. We just talked about that.
We just talked about that. Yeah, Courtney Combs used to hang out there.
Yes, she did.
It was a weird night of the week, like a Monday night whenever they had like an under 21 night.
She remembers that.
She remembered that too. She said
DJ Smooth was DJing for that.
Yeah, DJ Smooth was DJing and you were there playing the guitar. Everybody was at this underage Barracuda's party. Yeah.
There she was.
Everybody but me.
Across the crowded room.
Ain't that some shit?
Yeah.
Anyway, so you started playing there. Are you a solo artist? You're in a band? You played bass, drums, obviously. You play with other people.
I had the Drew Adams Project.
Yeah, let me see one of these. Two CDs here.
Yeah, once in a while we still get together and play out, but it's usually for like a private engagement or like a three-piece acoustic gig. It's just so hard to be on the upswing.
How does that work? I've always wondered. Right? So you name your band the Drew Adams Project, right? So, and you're the front man of the band.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a little egotistical compared to the other guys?
Is Dave Matthews
the
band?
Other guys in the band? Like Dave Matthews band. Yeah, it should be the same way, right?
I mean, Bruce, Springsteen has a whole band behind him. He's Bruce Springsteen, man.
Yeah.
Someone has to play. He's not playing it
by
himself.
But they're the E Street band. They can go play on their own.
So what?
Because
it's not called the Freddie Mercury Queen band. It's just called Queen.
Right. But he does what he wants to do, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wondered about that before, but the two other string players, the guitar player and the other bass player that are in the group came to me, and we're all good friends. They came to me, 7 or 8 years ago, and they said, we want to do something with you musically.
Yes, there you go.
And coming up with a band name could be a terrible nightmare.
Yeah.
And since that was something they
if they come to you.
Yeah, but Chris, he has a simple name, Drew Adams. I mean,
it is.
And at first, I didn't know whether it was going to work, but we sat down and we had like a three-part harmony going on, and I was like, this really could, go somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. So we, gigged a couple times, and I was like, let's try to amp this up a little bit, bring a drummer on board, book some more gigs. And it really started to, create a buzz in the area. So nobody was really offended by that or bothered by that. They just kind of accepted it, and they didn't think I was, hogging all the attention or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't want anybody to be singled out. We distributed. Because
there have been bands famously like that, right? It was like, I think, Oasis, they have that issue.
Yeah, and those two brothers do not get along.
Everybody thinks they should be the head man. I think Creed broke up because they think Scott Staff is the head man and they did, like...
Well, then you have other bands that whose names are not based around, like, the front man, like The Knack, for example. The Knack is one of my favorite all-time bands.
Is it really?
Yeah.
But the singer from that, Doug Feger, who passed away about 9 years ago, ran that band with an iron fist, but his name wasn't part of the group, but he's notorious for
what he did, yeah.
If I wouldn't do this, this band's not going to run properly, and,
It becomes a business after a while, man. It does, man.
No, but I treated all of my guys fairly, and I think that they, enjoyed, the experience while we had it, and we still get together and gig once in a while. We might show up someplace and do either an acoustic three-piece or sometimes a full electric thing, but right now I'm primarily playing bass in the Lakota band, which is a group of guys that...
Lakota?
And they've been playing together for like 15 or 20 years, but they needed a bass player, and I wasn't doing anything...
Playing fill-in?
I
gotta hear him play the bass.
I wasn't doing anything...
Yeah, that'd be good.
Sure needs some Seinfeld bumper music.
So I said, I'll help you guys out. They do a lot of classic rock and some southern rock and stuff like that in the area.
Your catalog is huge, right? Anytime I've seen you, you're mainly doing covers.
Yeah, for the most part. When I get closer to the city, like Harrisburg and Baltimore, I'll break out more of the original stuff because that stuff seems to go over well.
Right.
The closer you get away from the smaller communities like what we have here.
These songs you played for us tonight, obviously, you're here with an acoustic guitar. Are these normally played with the band, the drums, everything else?
Yeah, like if you listen to the album, the production is pretty elaborate. There's electronics, there's horns, there's pianos.
Gotcha. You went full on Ben Folds with it, huh?
Ben Folds is another one of my favorite artists.
I mean, cool. he pulls out full on symphonies and stuff in his production. It's kind of crazy.
The Drew Adams Project, where do we find you, Drew? Tell the whole world.
We got a Facebook page, facebook.com/Drew Adams Project, and our music is also downloadable on iTunes and CD Baby and
it's
Amazon.
Out there, right? You're out there. The Drew Adams Project is out there. Just look it up. Mm-hmm. You guys are out there, right? That's cool, man. So when are you guys playing again around here?
I don't know. I'm not sure of any dates offhand that the Drew Adams Project is playing. If we do, though, we always create events on the Facebook page, so anybody who's a friend of ours on there will get a notification.
Gotcha.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Facebook, the Drew Adams Project. And of course,
let me see these CDs.
Yeah, check these out.
You guys can keep.
How about you got you got some good production behind you? I mean, who's producing your album?
Well, those were those were recorded in my home studio.
You have a home studio.
Yeah.
So when you guys get together, like when that's what I was thinking earlier. Like when the Drew Adams Project got together and you like guys were testing stuff out. I mean.
You don't have to worry about paying a studio thousands of dollars.
And here we are.
Right. Yeah.
The Emerald Studio.
You can take your time.
We own this bitch.
Don't have to worry about deadlines and
spend
as much time as you need editing stuff until it's perfect.
Yeah. I remember back in the day I used to hang out with this band called 7 Days Torn. And they were out of Baltimore and they had like a warehouse down there in a warehouse district.
Do it yourself, right?
Yeah, a little do it yourself studio type thing. So you got this out of your house, though.
Yeah, Disc Makers manufactured and did the replication for us, but all the recording and
all done by you,
and naming the album and all this is you, huh?
Yep.
This is your baby, huh?
Home from the War. Check out the artwork. The artwork's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
You don't see this. Yeah, you don't see this stuff anymore, right?
You know, it would look great on an album.
In the digital age now, you don't get to actually see a CD.
I don't know, man.
I miss seeing the CDs.
The photography on that one there that you're holding, this Home from the War, that was done by a guy who we're friends with from Waynesboro named Chris Nicholson. He's a really good photographer.
That's awesome.
You didn't miss CDs. I grew up with albums, pal. I grew up with 12-inch gatefolds.
That took up a whole lot less space.
I mean, Iron Maiden, for instance, they took advantage of that shit. Their album covers are awesome. Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
I mean, their album cover is part of the obviously that is too. It's part of the whole package, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You know I mean, that's saying? How that's how I found Linkin Park actually.
That's right.
Before Linkin Park was famous, I went into like Waxy Maxy or something. Back in the day, and I was like, "That is awesome artwork!"
It was like that
war soldier with the butterfly wings.
Right.
And I bought the album based off the artwork, and then come to find out a year later they just blew up. Was it an album or a CD though? It was a CD.
Was it okay? Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah. My goal with this group, the Drew Adams Project, was to have two studio albums during the time this group was active, because all my previous groups that I had original music with only managed to get one out before the groups, you know, dissolved or somebody left. And so we managed to do that with this group. And it always seems to happen at a time when, you know, things are winding down or a guy says, you know, I have too many obligations to my job or my family now and I don't know if I can keep this going anymore.
Yeah. Right.
So we managed to do that. I still promote it when I can. I take them along to my solo gigs and make them available for people to buy, which, you know, the most recent one is $8. The older one is $5. And, you know, all of that is downloadable online for whatever prices those online sites decide to charge.
Of course, right.
Yeah.
It's a bitch, huh? Yeah, they get
that
cut, though.
You get like a taste of iTunes, though, right?
The distribution is actually pretty reasonable. They only get like 9 cents or something from every album sale.
That's really?
Nine or... It's low. We get the bulk of it.
You get the bulk of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. I've heard nightmares, but I guess it depends on who you're talking to.
So is this you do this like full time? You play music full time?
I worked in printing for close to 4 years, and that was definitely not something I wanted to make a career out of.
Yeah. God, Dexter.
Damn, Dexter.
That's because you know who was here, I think.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, listen, we appreciate coming on and playing. We're going to have you back. Okay. And we got a couple of things brewing here that we might be able to get you some live performances for, man.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm always anxious to get into venues I haven't played yet.
By all means.
I even have some big house parties here. I might even hire you to come do one of my house parties.
Well, that'd be great.
There we go.
Yeah, if you want something like, you know, not quite as big as a full band, but bigger than a solo, I could do maybe like, you know, I do an acoustic duo with a guy on percussion that gets a pretty good response sometimes.
There you go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, nice.
Yeah. All right, cool. Hub Show, Drew Adams, the Drew Adams Product. We just told you where to find him. He's on Facebook, iTunes. He's out there. Go get him. Go listen to good stuff.
Yes.
And then we got plenty.
And you'll see him everywhere
more
around town.
Than what we heard here. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be at the Williamsport Moose. Let's see. When is that? 2 weeks. Friday the 22nd of this month from 7 to 10.
The whole bunch here or just you?
No. Just me.
Just you and your guitar?
There
you go.
Yep.
All right. A little James Taylor action there, huh?
All right. Yep.
All right, cool. Hey, Drew, thanks for coming on. We appreciate you stopping by.
No, I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have you back for sure. This is good stuff. We want to hear more of this track. So we'll boost you up on our Facebook page and help each other out. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Love it.
Cool. I like it. I like your style, man. I like the cut of your jib.
There you go. All right, take care, man.
Party Pet is your local neighborhood pet store, serving premium and super premium pet food and supplies for dogs, cats, birds, and small animals. Your pets will love their selections from Fromm, Nutrisource, and Nature's Logic, along with American National Premium, Origin, and Akana 2. At Party Pet, we offer training courses including 2 and 3 week holiday manners brush-ups. We even offer canine massage to help with joint pain, arthritis, injuries, anxiety, and stress. So come see us at Party Pet, 19918 Jefferson Boulevard, right here in Hagerstown. Party Pet, where we love your pets, too.
The People's Podcast.
Look at me. I started having sex on a regular basis, and now all of a sudden I'm domesticated.
It
happened,
really?
It happened that fast.
The marriage is next year.
Define domesticated, man.
I was mopping when you showed up.
That's true.
Yes.
Yes.
I was mopping and cleaning
you
windows when you
he
showed
did
up.
Squeegee a window.
I squeegeed a window, yeah. And I found out that it actually takes a little bit of skill to squeegee a window.
Yeah, that window looks pretty bad.
Doesn't
at the
it squill?
Top.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Swisher, well, look.
Boy's got squills.
Did you get him too?
The boy's got squills.
All right, that's cool. Hey, one big Hub Show shot for the phone.
For the masses.
For the gram.
Mm-hmm.
You got Jarrus too?
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
3, 2, 1, Hub Show. We are back. Chris is being domesticated, supposedly. Back here with Jay Heiss, Chris Canfield, Josh Swisher's back in the hizzy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Charmin Grissette. The stuttering Charmin. And our man, Jarrus of all, master of none. Master
you haven't,
of none.
You haven't become a master of
why,
anything
why
yet.
Why master none? Why master of none?
That's a good question.
Well, the whole
it
saying
makes you,
is
makes you question it, makes you wonder, makes you think.
Right, right. The whole thing is it's a jack of all trades, master of none.
That's true.
Often better than a master of one.
Right.
So the thing with my channel is that I use. All
I've never
these
heard that last verse.
Me either.
Yeah, nobody has, and I think it's the best part. You know,
I think you just
the best
made
part.
It up.
Was it master of none and what?
Often better than a master.
You
of
You should
one.
Put that on the back of the T-shirts.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah,
is should do that. Master of none on the front. Yeah. It's master. Oh, okay.
She's wearing the shirt.
She's got a
dude. All she's missing. All she's missing is that.
Jarrus, we were having name troubles earlier.
I know. All she's missing is the Hub Show beanie, man.
I know.
Oh,
I
don't
have one.
That'd be great. You gotta get you one.
Yeah, good.
Do you have a stamp or something? We could just on the one that she's got.
Tattoo it to her forehead. Emily's in the room.
Patches.
The tattoo artist, man.
Emily is awesome.
Yeah.
Temple Emily
art
works
tattoo.
At Temple Art.
Temple Art here that's in right. Hagerstown.
She's right. Tattooed.
She's the tat lady.
She's phenomenal.
She's amazing.
Really?
She's that's over right. there drawing what's up him? Tattoos right now.
Is she?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like an artist. Do you hand draw tattoos? Like before you put them on?
Sometimes
or are they just computer generated? You get them off clip art.
She's over there in the zone.
She nodded yes, though. She is listening.
You get them off clip art?
She does. She's getting a new. She's about to go to the next level and get.
I always wanted
to do some Photoshop stuff and do stuff to do these really.
I always wanted the great
collages.
Gazoo on my shoulder.
Collage tattoos. You want a tattoo?
The great gazoo. I wanted him on my shoulder.
He wants the great
who's
gazoo.
That?
Be careful what you wish for, Fred.
He still doesn't know, dude.
Well, he knows for Emily, are you going to let Emily do
you don't,
that?
You don't know the great gazoo? He was
she
the,
could do it.
He was the
she
little. He was the little alien on Fred Flintstone.
The Flintstones, man.
Yeah, it's a little before my time.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a little bit of
Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's
my
right.
dad. My dad was Fred Flintstone. I grew up in the Flintstones.
Yeah.
You guys didn't have a floor.
He would come in
on your car.
He would come in the house and go, Linda.
That would be a good
where's
thing.
My food?
Wait. Your mom's name is Linda.
Yeah,
reminds of Wilma.
Linda.
So yeah, there you go.
That's awesome.
Name Fred?
No, his name was Red though.
Was it Red?
It was Red.
Red and Linda, Fred and
that
Wilma.
That might be a good thing, though.
Wow, bust a rhyme.
That
homie.
Might be an idea for Jarrus. Is it
Jarrus
or Jarrus?
Oh, my God.
Jarrus. You messed me up. I said Jarrus earlier, and you messed me up.
Well,
let me
ask you a question. How many of you guys, when you eat, is it a gyro or a gyro?
It's a gyro.
Gyro. Excuse me.
Gyro.
Gyro.
Gyro,
gyro, gyro.
Gynecologist.
The correct
whatever.
Pronunciation is a gyro.
Gyro?
That's right.
Did you work at the?
Yeah.
I know,
it's
right.
Like
we're
a hero.
In a hero place.
I
know. Thank
no,
you.
I did not.
No. Hero, hero. No, but he could reproduce the Flintstones car.
Oh,
Oh, man.
Try running cars.
Use your feet to
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome, dude.
Just take one of those little takes
cars.
That's
next year's project.
How fast would you have to run?
Yeah.
Look, Chris sitting right next to you. Come on, Fred.
There's got to be some way to down gear it
so we can
pedal a bicycle and make the car go 60 miles an hour.
But, Chris, they put the brakes on with the heels of their feet.
That's something to figure out.
Oh, man. That
blood
would be,
everywhere.
That's actually.
Yeah, you'd have to make some cool.
There might be some cool, like, project inside that. Like, working with gears and trying to be able to, like, pedal a bicycle and make a bicycle go, like, 60
it's
miles
a great
an hour.
Idea. It's a
off, like, a, off, a, off a regular
give
pedal.
Give me projects.
They do that.
They do that?
Yeah, that's like, they used to do big competitions at universities to see who can make like the fastest bicycle. I can't remember what I think it's like 75 miles an hour right
but
now.
But don't worry, Charming.
When we and, were you're in, just, and you're pedaling it
there's
just
a guy,
like normal?
You do a recumbent bike.
When Chris
and
I were introduced to Jarrus, the person introducing is called Jarrus. So, I mean, we're all over the map here.
Was what? Jarrus.
You were introduced to us, your name was Jarrus, not even Jarrus.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Jarrus.
Correct, all that. Like, oh.
Hero, Jarrus.
Jarrus of all, master of none. He's on YouTube.
Jarrus, you're my hero.
Car.
When we first met him, he was hanging out with a furry.
Oh, well,
I would, that is a
furry
that's
handler?
An incorrect description of the situation.
You're a furry handler.
The furry was
you're
hanging
handler?
Out with him.
What?
There was a furry that I was at that convention, and that furry came in the room where I had my like exhibit set up.
He photobombed us,
and he kept talking to us about. We were talking about things that were not what he kept bringing up.
Yeah.
He kept trying to change the conversation to completely different stuff, and we had no idea who he was.
He may be a listener.
He may be, and hopefully, guess what? Anonymous. 2 weeks from now, we're back at the Comic-Con. Are you there this time?
Is that 2 weeks? No,
they haven't talked to me, so.
They haven't talked to you?
No.
What?
That's crazy.
I'm real busy right now, so it'd be difficult to do anything.
Would it be?
Yeah.
Do you want to show up? We're going to be there.
I mean, I was going to try to do it if I had Aquaman done by then. I'll have the suit done by then, but I don't think I'll have like
that's good
all
enough.
The motors. And
you can bring the stuff you did last time.
Come to our booth.
Yeah, you can just roll in and make an appearance at our booth.
Can we advertise you coming to the booth?
Sure.
Like Saturday and Sunday, Saturday
like,
or
I'm
Sunday.
I'm probably going to go even
we got
if I'm not like a special
coming.
Guest.
I mean, why not Aquaman?
Two pirates.
Oh, we got Django and Decapitate.
Decapitate's coming?
Supposedly.
Are you fighting him?
That's
I heard
some
you were going to fight
bitch.
Him, Chris.
No, I'm fighting his
I'm
man.
I'm not sure what
Dave's or Sable.
His man.
Oh, it's his man?
It's his man, Sable.
His lover?
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to show up and go Spanish announcer table.
I heard you need a manager. I can manage, bro.
I do. I tried to get Jim Cornette last week.
Dude,
you're not going to get Jim Cornette to manage you.
I can manage you, bro. I can manage you.
What would your name be, Josh?
I don't know. You need to be 420,
dirty. Baby.
If I need a chair in the ring,
Captain 420.
If I need a chair in the ring, you need to slide it in.
I'll just like douse him in edibles or something.
Yes, Captain Decapitate and the crew of blood. We're still talking shit. So hey, I think March 23rd or 24th at the Hager Hall, Four State Comic Con.
Yes, I'll get a squirt.
And then April 20th.
Give him a little squirt.
April 20th, you're gonna be up there in Hamburg.
April 20th, we're going to Hamburg,
going to
and I'm
Hamburg.
Calling Sable out.
Sabal, dude.
Sable.
Okay.
Sable's a girl.
He's got better tits than Sable.
Does he have hands
really?
Painted on him too?
Real beef here. Unaware of the
this
backstory.
Serious,
it happened right
man.
Here.
That's right. I wrote a poem about him. You have
this
to go back
serious.
A couple podcasts.
Yeah, he's on there.
I just want to run in with a chair.
Apparently, he drinks Chardonnay out of a glass.
You ever find that, Chris? Telling people to listen to our podcast.
He got his balls
like
cut off. Got his balls cut off with a cutlass.
Really? Which one?
Sable.
So many questions.
He thinks
this is in real life.
What is this?
Decapitate.
Shel Silverstein over here.
That would have been on the news. Fake wrestling stuff, right? Because I don't know what you're talking about.
Wait, did Decapitate his balls?
We had a wrestling manager come in here.
He's in Key West right now. He's listening, man.
We had a wrestling manager come in here, right? And he has this whole group. With
Sable.
They call
the
crew of blood.
The crew of blood.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they put
that's crew with an E at the end.
And he comes in here
like
and he starts talking shit, right? Yeah. Oh, the hub show ain't shit.
Blah, blah,
blah, blah,
he was
blah,
talking
right?
mad shit.
So then I get on Facebook, start looking him up, you know,
sure
get on the internet. Sure enough, he has an extra E after the word crew. Like, what are you, British?
Crewy?
I don't understand. Whoa. Why
does he spell
crewy?
It with a K?
No. But it was crew with an E.
You know, like your Mardi Gras crew?
C-R-E-W-E.
Crew.
And then his main guy, he comes up, he can't win a belt, so he has to go out and get his own belt
made.
Yeah,
he has the Iowa Championship.
That can only be defended
the
on an island or a ship.
Association. You get
right?
that?
Well,
I feel like that's cheating.
You're
it
going,
is cheating.
Jairus is going to an island. So to then, do the Aquaman, so he, his, so he could do the fight
the
there.
We could do the fight there. You're right.
And well, I guess island? It might as well be an island because it is a whole other
than Florida. Just yes. Jump to an
so
island.
So his main guy, his main guy who holds the belt, his name is Sabaal, right?
Oh, that's
a, yeah. Yeah, but he wears a mask, and I've
Did
never
see
seen
him?
I've never oh, seen some pussy ass pirate who wears a mask.
A mask.
But Sabaal's not the pirate, dude.
Sabaal, he works on the ship.
Oh, so he's a pirate?
He's a member of the crew. He works
Blackbeard
on
the poop deck.
Like, Nacho Libre style? Deck. Like, what
on the poop
kind of
deck were pirates as well.
He's swapping the poop deck.
There's going to be one pirate, dude.
Right. You can beat his ass.
Swap the poop deck.
The poop deck.
Me matey, arr.
That's right.
And you can pull, like, an Aquaman move.
Well, listen, dude.
Then.
Boom.
2 weeks.
Bam,
we're going to have...
Wait, boom.
I'm coming in with the power fist.
Hold it, Chris. You got 2 weeks. Comic-Con will be there literally 2 weeks.
Knocking his ass out.
And Jared, you want to show up?
I didn't realize it was 2 weeks.
It's March 23rd and 24th.
Coming up.
That's 2 weeks from now, man.
God,
the year is flying by. We're into the third month, man.
I should be able to.
It's still not warm.
I'm not going to guarantee that I'll wear the Aquaman suit.
It's crazy.
Because it's a wetsuit, and that'd be weird.
I can't wait.
Hey, I got a question for you. You're over there playing with my tuning fork.
Yeah.
Do it again, Jairus. A couple episodes ago. A couple episodes ago, me and Jay were talking about this.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we were being recorded or not. But why?
Oh, you were being recorded.
Do you remember back in the day when Andy Griffith type shows, you know, the old black and white shows, they always used to put a tuning fork in the cake.
The microphone works.
They always used to put a tuning fork in the cake, and then the prisoner would break out of prison with the tuning fork. Now, how in the hell does that happen?
And
was it that possible?
Fork?
Can you do?
A file.
Can you recreate this?
It's a file.
Is it a file?
Yeah, it's a file.
I thought
they file the bars.
The file's on the other end of the tuning fork.
So we got
Charming watches TV.
We
she
have
watches
prisons
a
here.
Lot of
we
TV.
Need to get you into
don't.
One of the prisons.
I don't
you can
you just know
way
to get out with
a
tuning fork.
That's the classic bit. You know, you send a file in the cake.
Yeah,
it's classic.
But
she's
okay.
Right.
But how long would it take you to file your way out of prison?
No kidding, man.
I don't know. But I did see an episode of MythBusters where they did it faster by using salsa.
Salsa?
Yeah, the acidity in the salsa.
Salsa?
Yeah,
as in the
it's pretty
salsa.
Crazy.
How fast was it? Though?
Like nachos.
A lot faster. Like
Chris
it was corrosive. Like
hey, 4 weeks
wait,
instead of
no.
Josh,
no.
Time out. As Charming said that. Jairus over here nodding his head. Yeah, salsa.
That's yep.
Right. you can get through bars with salsa.
So you could, yeah, you can just
what
order nachos in
break,
prison
man,
and break out.
Whatever what, vitamins
how
you
How does
take?
This work?
I don't know.
I need to know now.
Okay, Jairus, please do explain.
Explain.
We're ever in prison.
Salsa. You want to break out of prison
with salsa?
Yeah, you can just
with
hot
pace,
or mild.
Pace well, picante.
Oh my god!
Right.
New York City.
New York City.
Well, you seem to know Charming. So
tomatoes are just super acidic. So I mean, you put tomatoes on anything, it's gonna burn through it eventually.
Yes.
Eventually.
How long does that
That's
take?
A lot of salsa.
A long
dude.
Time,
I,
right?
I mean, I don't know what the bars. If they were
I
made out of
tomatoes,
iron, it's, I mean,
if I left a
iron
tomato,
iron oxidizes really fast.
If you slice a tomato and you left it on this
relatively
this tabletop right here, after a while,
rust.
Yeah, I mean, it would mess it up. It would look a lot different. But I mean, metal okay. reacts a lot different with.
I haven't done these experiments with my. You
so
know,
how long would it take to break through metal with salsa?
Salsa.
Like
it depends.
Years.
Well,
we went from a
it depends on
fork and a cake to a jar of pate.
Depends on how acidic the tomato is, and it depends how hot the bars are.
So the mega super acidic tomato.
Yeah. So if you had like a really acidic tomato and the bars were warm, like the sun was shining on it,
you have to like breathe on the bar.
And you had
like
many multiple tomatoes, so you could keep applying tomatoes or salsa to it.
Yeah.
I'd say you could probably easily burn through a bar, but. I don't know, in a day, probably.
Really?
God,
no
wow.
way.
If the bar was hot.
Well, to all of our prison listeners
but I mean,
out
it's
there.
Gonna,
well,
there's going to be heat from
it's
the friction
hard.
Of
there's
you filing
a,
it.
There's
so going to
be a banning of salsa
it's
in
just
all prisons.
Gonna,
yeah. So you need
because
the file
the
and the tomato, and you're just,
yeah.
you got a tomato on one side, the file on the other.
So
the
inmates, the inmates that get kitchen duty, right, they're kind of...
They're sneaking
they stash
salsa.
The salsa.
Yeah.
They lock
right.
it up. You know?
That's crazy.
It's a ration.
I worked in a prison. Nobody breaks
glad,
out with
I'm
tomatoes.
Glad every. I'm glad.
Yeah, that's
nobody.
Right. You were in corrections.
I was in corrections.
No
for
one
6 years.
Came up to with a packet of salsa.
No, nobody is trying to get ketchup.
Somebody go to Sonic.
It's not.
You can get you can get far with ramen noodles, cigarettes, and now salsa packets, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They break out under trucks.
No kidding.
Ramen noodles.
Yeah, they
highly
jump
flammable.
Underneath the truck, and that
no salsa needed there, is there?
Several breakout, and then they go to the Sheets in Sharpsburg.
And they buy salsa.
They get caught. Two,
yeah.
three breakouts
yeah, yeah, yeah.
here.
That's all
I've
they're
heard about
dreaming
that.
About.
I've
in
heard
there.
About
you're just
that.
Like, man,
they
I need
heard
my
that.
What do they hold
MTO.
On to under the truck?
I don't know.
Hot. The drive shaft is turning. The exhaust is fucking hot.
Hey, they're big ass fans.
Didn't you see the Simpsons Sideshow? Bob did that.
And then Homer went through a cactus bread.
But they all go to the sheets. I think if I was breaking out of prison, I feel like I'd have a plan.
If I broke out of prison, sheets would be my first stop, probably.
Why?
You can't though, dude.
Because I need to get a schmuffin and some Gatorade.
This Maryland.
I need to.
You know who else gets schmuffins at sheets though all the time?
Whoa. What happened there?
Police officers.
Container Red Hot.
Container Red Hot.
Container Salsa. She's trying to break out of your house, dude.
Break out.
Hey, your word.
Is that enough?
There's a hole in your floor.
Dear Liza.
I'm getting out of here.
Oh, my God.
There's a hole in your floor, dear Liza.
What, Red Hots?
Yeah, they've been up there for a very long time.
Like the candy.
Cinnamon candy.
Yeah, well, there's a story behind that.
Oh, jeez.
So, as we get older, we don't know what to get each other for Christmas, right? Nobody knows what to get each other for Christmas as you get older. So my mother seems to think that I'm a full-grown adult child. So she bought me a candy dispenser machine, and she bought me all kinds of candy to put
awesome.
In the dispenser.
You're missing in here. You're missing a gumball machine.
And
that's
I thought
a wonderful gift.
I see there's one right around
there's
the corner
a,
here.
There is one.
M&M's.
Gumball.
M&M's got M&M's.
And she bought me like a lifetime supply of candy, and I don't need candy that much.
Wait. How old are those?
So there's Red Hots up on top of the fridge.
That are now all over the floor.
They've probably been there for 5 years, something like that.
Like everything else in this house.
Are they still edible? That's
sure.
the question.
Well, wait,
why didn't you eat
them?
When do Red Hots expire?
Red Hots are sprayed with potassium sorbate to retard mold growth.
And will they help?
Do you agree, Jarrett? Is that true?
About what?
What he just said about
I have no idea.
Okay, go.
But I love candy.
Potassium sorbate does retard mold growth.
And I am a grown child. I consider myself like Peter Pan. Yeah. And my buddy asked me what I wanted for my birthday, and I told him 5 pounds of Swedish
Tinkerbell.
Fish. And he
That's
got it
true.
For me.
He literally
5 pounds?
I love Swedish fish.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah. He got it for me a little while ago. They're almost gone. I've
wow. Swedish fish.
Have you tried the Swedish fish Italian ice from
no, I don't need
Rita's?
No.
Did your poop turn red and then you were worried for a second? And you're like, oh, that's just the Swedish fish.
Oh, if you eat more than a pound of Swedish fish in a day, it definitely messes with your poop. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Beets the same, did that to me.
Oh, it's
with
like
beets?
Yeah.
Oh,
beets,
oh,
beets are bad.
Like,
beets
what the fuck is
and,
that?
Red
velvet.
Red
velvet.
Josh has period.
Red velvet.
My wife was like, it's okay. It's beets. That's what they do. They turn your
yeah, well, you know.
I was scared shit. I was going to call the doctor
scared
and everything.
Scared shitless.
Yeah, right. That was no, you weren't.
I want to see that trip to the urgent care.
Hey, look, Josh
we're
gonna is going
to need a
purple.
Sample. Oh, my God.
It was scary.
A little grimace
so
action
funny.
There.
Right. Yeah, no, they use beet juice to dye a lot of stuff.
He just gave birth to Barney.
I used my poop. I actually used beet juice to get... rust off of
here
my machinery at
tomatoes,
the shop.
Tomatoes, beet juice, salsa.
Are you?
Because of the acid?
And yeah, well,
please
yeah.
do tell.
Like, there
Chris.
Was a couple years ago, we had this amazingly humid day, right? And it was like, it was raining inside the shop, right? When I got there was like water dripping off the ceiling. It was that humid.
So you used
and
beets.
All of my machinery, like all of my table saws and everything, have
rusted.
Steel beds.
Ooh,
and they
bad.
Were all rusted.
Rust.
So I went down and I started sanding. I tried to sand through the rust and it wasn't working.
Right.
And then somebody came up and gave me like a gallon of beet juice and was like, here, wipe this on it. I wiped the beet
you
juice on it,
up?
Came back like an hour later. Wiped it off and the rust was gone.
Well, Josh,
I don't know how that works.
At least you can say your rust
works.
Was washed out, yeah. dude.
Nobody likes beets, Dwight.
So could you break out of prison with beet juice?
And salsa.
I don't. I'm not a chemist. It's vinegar. It's what is vinegar? Acetic acid, I think. Or something
Let's
like
find
that.
Out.
I mean, it'll burn
Let's
through.
Let's find
it.
Out.
It's
kids.
Not into the chemistry.
It's just like the iron oxide it's, that form. Iron oxide
buddy,
is rust, right?
Yeah.
And it's acetic acid dissolves that very easily, like readily, as long as it's warm enough. Like if it's freezing cold out, you can put vinegar on rust and it won't hardly do anything. But
gotcha.
If it's warm, like you were saying,
yeah,
you throw some vinegar on there, it dissolves it, and then you just wipe it off. And then you just got to treat it with, you know, WD or whatever
gotcha.
Tool.
So vinegar would have done the same thing as the
yeah,
beet
it would have done the exact same thing.
Gotcha.
So I think beets are preserved
the
in
Discovery Channel
acid,
over here.
So. I think so, but I'm not positive. But.
Gotcha.
That's probably why I did it. Yeah, just I keep
the
vinegar out
goes
of the shop
to school.
So I can get rust off of tools.
How
like I had okay
about,
one time I was fixing somebody's car for them. They had a pair of pliers that they had used to go fishing with like 5 years before that, and they'd sat in their shed and rusted tight. And I was like, well, I can't use these, but I have like to have pliers to be able to fix your car. So I was like, do you have any vinegar? And they were like, yeah. So I went inside, put the vinegar in a pot, boiled it on the stove, threw the pliers in there. 5 minutes later, rust gone, pulled them out. They
no
were
brand new pliers. That's crazy,
brand new
man.
Pliers. Went
That's
out and
crazy.
Fixed their car. I was like, yeah,
awesome.
I feel like MacGyver right now.
Right?
Like,
wow.
I love it. It's like
man.
Weird little things
what,
like that that
what,
you know.
Is
like,
hero.
What's your, not a hero.
What's your opinion of all these, like, what do they call them? Wives' tales. Like old wives' tales. Like,
oh, I was going
like,
to
ask
about
like heat like, rises.
Like, warts.
Right?
Like where you take
warts.
The...
Thank you, Charlie.
Like divining rods. You know? Like where they got the old timers where they say
yeah.
they can find
Come
water
on,
with divining
bullshit.
Rods.
Yeah, I don't
that's
know.
Bullshit.
That's all
I don't
bullshit,
even understand
right?
what the process of using that is. I don't know what's supposed... I don't know how that works.
They just say that they take like... They take and take welding rods and bend them... Like 90 degrees and hold them like this, and you can walk
move.
Through,
like
and you can
they
like, and they'll cross
as you
each
get
other
closer to water,
and when you cross each other, you're over top of water.
Nah, yeah. It's just like John Edwards.
No.
It's some bullshit.
John
that they just
crossing over.
Money.
There's no science.
They're crossing over
money.
Divining
yeah.
rods.
Nothing.
I can't imagine there would be any science behind that.
Nah.
Yeah. I thought it was like where you held
dowing
a stick,
rods.
And when the
yeah,
stick wants does like this.
Dowing rods. Yeah.
It's like the stick can't do that.
Chris, you know we need a segment on here called Ask Jarris.
That would be a great segment.
Email your questions.
So here's a question,
producer
though,
at
and
the
I already
kind of
know
com.
The answer about this one, I think.
Uh-oh.
But the dude said a cure for warts is a potato. You put a potato on your wart and it'll fall off. And but it's like an old wives' tale. Like
but did you try it?
So the potato. I guess
I don't have warts.
The idea is
because
the,
he said he
who
had
can
he,
test this
he was trying, and I was like, dude, I'll
the
bet
idea
you
is that the starch like. Pulls it out.
Yeah, no, but then you have to bury the potato, and then it gets really weird.
Oh, that's,
yeah,
that's bullshit.
Wait a minute. Before modern medicine, though, they were doing shit to get rid of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that worked.
I mean, alcohol was an anesthesia.
Yeah, they were taking cocaine for
think...
all kinds of stuff.
Right?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. Yeah, alcohol was an anesthesia. Yeah. And
why would you?
Got yeah. ghost in your blood. Just do some cocaine about it.
Right. Sure, man. That'll fix the problem. Have a coke and a smile.
That's right.
Have Seriously. A coke and a smile.
Yeah, but you
That's
know,
great.
There might be something to putting a potato on a wart
because of
See?
Something.
Now you
in
think
the,
about,
it.
About it.
About it. I think we should Google it.
To try
maybe.
It. I mean, because if you held anything that was like, if you put basically a wet paper towel over a wart for long enough, you know, your skin gets wrinkly when you're in water.
It's gonna
yeah,
prune up, right?
I read about it recently. It prunes up, but it prunes up for a reason. Like there's something going on inside your body that forces your skin to do that.
For the record, Jarris is not a doctor.
That's actually how
He's
I
a
get.
Scientist.
That's actually how I get like epoxy and like super glue and shit off my hands when I get home from work.
You just let it
I'll
get
sit,
super saturated.
I'll sit,
I hate
I'll sit,
that stuff. Man.
I sit in the tub, yeah. and when you sit in the
I
tub, your fingers wrinkle up, and your cells will absorb so much water that it like that you can just flick the
really?
You can flick
yeah,
the glue
it falls
off.
Right off.
The, the glue just falls right off your fingers.
Yeah, I get yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Your fingers get like you have to sit there long enough that the wrinkles on
Wax.
Your fingers get around
it
all
it
the way
just,
around it,
like super
and it'll
sticky.
Like start absorbing into the other cells under it, and then you can just flick the super glue
oh,
off your finger.
That's good to know because I try to use that soap, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
there you have it, folks. Super glue, beet juice, salsa sauce.
Breaking out of jail with
potatoes,
salsa.
Potato
warts.
Potato warts.
I got a potato wart.
She
gave me a potato wart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Anyway, he's Jarris of All, Master None on YouTube. Besides Aquaman, what's the latest, greatest? What's going on with you? What did you demo this week? By demo, I mean, would you demonstrate? Not would you destroy?
I haven't demonstrated anything. I had a bunch of YouTube meetings in D.C. this week. So
YouTube meetings?
Yeah.
YouTube
what
meetings.
What does that mean?
Like they're...
There are people
so,
there?
YouTube, how do I explain this?
They have a headquarters?
Google knows that if your channel is successful, they make more money because there's
right.
a split in the advertising revenue between the creator and Google. So they set up events to teach you how to be a better YouTuber and to like network with other YouTubers.
Right.
So it's like in
like a convention.
I should say the workshops are invite only. So because my channel's of whatever size, you know, I get invites to go to these things. If I accept, I get to go down there. They have channel specialists from Google there that teach us about different techniques and like best practices, how to make your videos better. So I was down there for that stuff, and it was a great time. I met some really cool people. Nobody had any channels that were like related to mine, really.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was still just really cool to hear these other people's experiences.
Do you have competition that does what you do?
Yeah,
of course you do, right?
Yeah, I don't really consider them competition.
He does collaborations.
I was actually entertained at the fact that when you went to go answer comments, you sped it up 1.5 speed. It's like blah, 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 blah. You sped through it real fast. It was like, oh, that's kind of entertaining.
I knew it was going to be difficult for me to be super clear and concise and make it like a really short segment. So I was like, I'm just going to turn the speed up. Like,
you got to do what you got to do.
That'll make it so much easier.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. And when I watch my videos, when it makes it sound kind of funnier. So like I spend all this time editing, and then when I render it and I've got the video, I'm ready to put it up on YouTube. It's like I know I need to watch it at least one more time to make sure I didn't screw anything up in the video.
Yeah. Right.
There isn't like a part that I was supposed to pull out that I left in or something screwed up. So I have to sit and watch through it. Well, you know, at that point, it's like the 50th time I've watched the video.
Oh, I know.
So I render it. I put it out. And then when I play it at 200%. And I sit there and I concentrate and it takes half the time. You know?
Yeah.
That way, and then it's like watching a totally different video because it's playing at such a different speed, it keeps me interested. And I can tell if I screwed anything up.
There you go.
So because I was doing that, I was like, I should just put that in the video because I like watching my videos like that.
That's that's a very interesting thought.
It is. Yeah.
That you can pay more attention at 200% than you can at 100%.
That's how I edit the Hub Show, dude. Are you kidding me? We signed the chip.
That's how his brain, how fast his brain is working all the time.
It is interesting. Once in a while, I hit the button by accident, you guys start talking backwards while I'm editing the Hub Show.
Yeah.
I hear it. The whole show backwards is pretty interesting.
Seriously. You're like, that guy's definitely possessed. I heard a lot of weird things.
Chris, you made more sense.
Wow. Wow. It makes sense.
Yeah. I think I heard some angels there while you were talking too, man.
Well, they're always on my shoulder.
Only in reverse.
There's a string on your shoulder that I've been wanting to get off for a while.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, just butter. Yeah. You get fuzz. Yeah,
get it off.
All right, the Hub Show. We're going to wrap this baby up. But Jairus, appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, anytime.
Jairus of all, Master Nunny's on YouTube.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Old man. Happy birthday.
And then, hey, Charming, thank you for joining
us. Thank you for having me.
You do this again.
All right.
All right. Josh. As always, thank you for coming on, man. You're welcome back. And you'll see Josh on Facebook.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Thursday Night Live. Yeah. TNL, baby.
You already got the brute shoot. So who's coming on next?
I have no idea. That's
who's coming next?
I don't
How do you
know.
Top that, dude?
I don't.
You don't.
That's why I think I'm going to take a break. Well, right. No, it's I have my scientist buddy.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, he was good.
But it's going to be a little different, I think. We're going to do
That's what it is. You learn as you go along, right? Things you got to do better.
I think I'm going to do more
one-on-one. It's like when you start dating a girl and then you buy her like this amazing gift. Like the first year out, and you're like, I got to top this now.
Yeah.
So you went
set the bar.
You went straight to breach.
You set the bar.
I know. It's and like, now,
we'll leave the listeners on this note. Mr. Canfield over here is in a relationship.
Yes, yes. Hagerstown's most eligible bachelor is no longer available.
Oh man. So I guess that's me now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You can take the role. You can take the mantle. Yeah.
So I'll
pass you the torch,
Chris. I'm gonna sign off, and you can continue your conversation about wood burning and whatnot with Jairus.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's Jay Heisch for Chris Canfield, for Jairus of all, Master of None, and for Charmin Grissette over there. Yeah.
Thank you.
And for Josh Swisher, Hub Show, Hub City. We're out of here later.
You've been listening to the Hub Show. Podcasting and broadcasting about news, geeks, business and events, health, pop culture, everything and nothing. With your hosts, Chris Canfield and Jay Heisch.